Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Elvis Presley.
Okay,
I just want.
Okay. What we gotta do? This is Mad Cave. there you go. So that'll do it.
Here I am.
That was Shout Even Try singing a song that I wrote. She wrote the music. Thank you, Bridget. But this is the Mad Cave. We're taking a break last Friday of every month. Steve and 76 and myself get together and we take a break from writing and poetry, and we talk about anything we want. They give us the keys to the place. So with me is Steven 76. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing all right if it wasn't for my phone, but yeah, I'm okay now.
Issues, huh? Oh, I hate that. In fact, I think we got the same phone, at this, I believe. Anyway, tonight I decided to go over some topics that I wanted to talk about, let you pick your brain a little bit. First off, are cryptoids. You know what the cryptology is, right? Bigfoot, Yeti, Mothman, anything unproven, people that legends that are animals, people that are not proven to exist, but people have witnessed them. First off, Bigfoot, the main ones, Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster, up there you have a Champ. Is it Champ in Lake Champlain?
Is that what his name is?
Anyway,
I don't know.
What do you believe in? What do you believe in? What don't you believe in? Bigfoot.
I don't know. You know what? I can't not believe in something that hasn't been disproven. So I'm willing to have an open mind. Because, I mean, we had the Lake Erie Monster right out here, too, for a while. It hasn't been spotted in a while, but hasn't been disproven either.
I didn't know there was a Lake Erie Monster. Really? So just a long-neck type of fish or mammal, that kind of monster?
Kind of like a relative of Nessie's.
Okay. Okay, well... the Great Lakes were attached to the ocean at some point, weren't they?
They still are.
Is that what the St. Lawrence River is?
Yep,
anyway,
the same St. Lawrence River.
So, yeah, I think any, I don't know about the Great Lakes. In fact, I have a list of some of the cryptoids. I hope I didn't get the page. Of course, it's the page I took out. You know, it's hard to believe that they exist. Let's pick one. Let's say Bigfoot, because I've grown up in Northern California, and the photograph, the Carpenter photo, video, that's not videotape, but film that shows Bigfoot walking on that creek bed is out of Willow Creek. I've been in Willow Creek many times when we went up fishing. It is a big legend up there. People say they still see it, Bigfoot. Questions I have are, they never spot, there's never evidence of more than one. I guess there are stories now of somebody that has seen more than one at a time. Why are there no bones? Why can't we find them? That's a good question. And I only say that in that way because I had an uncle who was a lumberjack up in Eureka, which is further north and toward the coast of in California. When he was in up in Eureka in that area, he was one that knew that at Easter break, that all the students, the hippies from San Rafael and Guerneville and San Francisco would all come up to the rivers looking for Bigfoot. So my uncle, being the joker he was one that had created, fashioned a foot, a big-ass foot. And he would print them in the sandbars, the creek beds and such. And he thought it was really funny to see these guys find one and go nuts over it, right, making casts. So it's saying that I didn't dislike my uncle for that, but it's sort of funny. But when it gets down to do you believe or not, it doesn't help me believe in it. So my uncle was one that put false quotes on the side of the riverbank, and he wasn't the only one, I'm sure. There's a theory saying that they're interdimensional creatures. They live in another dimension or something, and that's why we don't find any dead Bigfoots or partial bodies. I don't know. That's a good question. The widespread throughout the United States and the world, the wilderness man or the long-haired man is pretty common throughout the world. I mean, are they all wrong, or is there really something there?
Well, one thing is I know that there's actually more Bigfoot sightings in other areas of the United States, but they're not called Bigfoot. Like, there's one, I think, in Ohio, but they call him the Grassman.
There you go.
Because we did a show on him, but it's basically he's a Bigfoot. They talk about a story about him tearing up somebody's dogs and that went after him and really interesting stuff.
Well,
but,
the skunk ape down in Louisiana is another one. But the Legend of Boggy Creek, do you remember that movie? It was these kids are in a camper and they're terrorizes this creature outside, pounding on the side of the wall trying to get in. The Legend of Boggy Creek. It was based on a sighting of somewhere in the United States, and they called it the bog monster, the boggy creek or something. And they do call them different things. The Yeti, pretty high elevation,
right,
the Bigfoot.
Yeah.
So, it's a good question. Now, if you get into the real cryptoids, they have these what they call prisons where they catch these interdimensional cryptoid monsters, and they imprison them in whatever will allow them to be imprisoned, whether it's a light or bars or whatever. I thought that was a little much, but there's people that truly believe the cryptoids is existence, and there are a small band of people, scientists, that do keep them hidden, that do keep them in behind bars. power, sort of like the superheroes when somebody would escape some supervillain. Well, you know, you get Superman to deal with them. Yeah.
Like
a whole list of
like.
I was gonna.
Effective zone.
I was gonna. Yeah, and a lot of them are. There's this one where it's a sea monster, and these guys were where were they? It was an expedition, in the ice. So they're at the elevation, but they were diving also, and this thing was they called it by number, like the, you know, like what was the aliens that you kicked the Borg's ass? Species 8212, you know what I'm talking
about?
Yeah,
I know what you're talking about.
They gave it a number. They called it species or something. And the reports for this, the doctor, the scientist that survived was that the first guy he grabbed, like a squid or an octopus, like a kraken, had grabbed one of the scientists and just sort of just tore his head off. You know, grabbed it with one tentacle and tore his head off type of report. So, you know, you got to question, okay, well, how much of this is true? They want you to... Anytime you go research it in their backyard, of course they're going to said let you believe it. But you don't know where to go to. You know, where do you go to get the real stuff?
Some of the stories can be very, very outrageous. There's one down by Cincinnati, Ohio, around the Ohio River, or the Miami River that feeds into the Ohio River. They're frogmen. And the one guy that was first reported him, he said that he stopped his car for some reason, and then he saw these things on the side of the road, like four of them, and they were talking with each other, said they were about 4 foot tall, and when he got out of his car to get a closer look, one looked at him and pointed a stick at him, and the stick started to spark, so he got back in his car and drove the hell out.
There's a list. I found a list, and they are cryptids. C-R-Y-P-T-I-D-S. Cryptids. Now, you go in here, here's a list of them. Aquatic or semi-aquatic, so in and out of the water. Shows you what kind of animals. Let's see. Lake Champlain, Pacific Ocean, Ireland. That's a big otter. Patagonia. Lake Semco in Ontario, Canada. That's a lake monster. I can see it, get the name, but I'm trying to find one because I ran across that in Ohio. There's one in Russia. Loveland, Ohio, the human frog. Humanoid frog, they call it.
Yep.
The Loveland frog. Yeah. Loveland frog man. For the Loveland lizard.
That's them.
The Winnipogo. Oceans. Let's see. Republic of Congo. What's that?
Does it say anything about the melon heads? Because we got melon heads that are like three towns over from us that live in the woods. They're kind of like the hills have eyes kind of thing.
Oh, okay. Let me look. These are overseas.
When I was a teenager, we used to go melon head hunting.
Is that like snipes? Snipe hunting?
Probably. Yeah, probably pretty close. Okay. Yeah, but until, you know, if you find them, that you're not gonna come back if you actually find the melon head. So I don't know why the hell we were out there looking for them.
Really? You've got pictures. Some of the countries that have these cryptids: Singapore, Puerto Rico, Great Britain, England, Cornwall, England, Dover, Massachusetts. It's got the Dover demon pictured in the description. South Carolina's got a lizard man or a scrape. Madagascar's got one, no shit. The Amazon's Westford County, Michigan, has got a humanoid dog called the Michigan Dogman. So, you know, there's way too many reports and definitions and drawings of what they look like to not have some validity to it.
Yeah, I would agree. Sometimes there's actual physical evidence, too, that even the police know about. I mean, like that whole El Chupacabra, is that what it is? Chupacabra?
Chupacabra.
Actual evidence of these goats being bled dry through a bite. So, I mean, how do you explain that?
Yeah, and the picture of they have of the one that they think was the Chupacabra, right? It's a long nose, looks like a coyote with no fur. But how does he drain the blood? Because he doesn't have lips to actually draw blood out, sucking it, and there's no evidence of blood on the ground. So, that's a good one, the Chupacabra.
It's got to be A vampire has like straws, right? In his fangs, right? That's
something. Okay, you know, the good thing you brought that up down to the Southwest. How about the Skinwalker Ranch?
Oh yeah, that's some freaky stuff
That is. Check this out. I saw the latest video. These guys set up a perimeter, and it seems like it's about maybe 40 feet in diameter, maybe 60 feet in diameter, this circle. They've got cameras and other equipment set up, lights.
Yeah.
What they did, they lit a flamethrower and blew this flame out into this circle that they had cordoned off, and the flames went around something. There was nothing there that we could see, but the flames went around it. And they said, check that out. They did this experiment, and it was on the Skinwalker Ranch.
Now, was it last season or the season before? I think it was the season before of American Horror Story. They were on the Skinwalker Ranch, and in that they were claiming it was aliens.
I've heard that.
The one about the...
Yeah, it's got to be... I've heard it's also a portal. It's a portal to other dimensional beings or something. And that legend goes back to the Navajo Indians or the Apache Indians or whatever, quite deep, the Skinwalker Ranch. You know, it was sold again. It was bought up by the three scientists or something that are now studying. They're setting up all these equipment to try to prove or disprove the Skinwalker Ranch. I'll tell you what, some of the reports of those, what the people dealt with, the people that own the ranch, where do you go? That's home. You can't just leave. You know, I remember the alien angle where they're saying the aliens were walking around the house at night, you know. I don't know. I think I'll study it from afar.
Yeah, I watched, because, you know, for a while there, we were doing mortuaries on cryptids, and we stopped because we kind of out, but we did do something about the Skinwalker Ranch, because the Skinwalker was one of them, and I watched this entire, I think I probably watched the same video you were talking about, Hatter, with the guys setting up all the lights and everything, and there was some really, I don't know, it gave me the chills, some of that did. It's just, some things you just can't explain. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
And maybe it is.
Yeah.
Maybe it is interdimensional.
That's not,
the whole thing.
That's not,
the whole thing about like, the Wendigo messes with me.
A Wendigo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, Moth. I'm looking at Mothman. Jersey Devil. Louisiana's got a woodpecker. Ivory-billed woodpecker. What's must be the woodpecker from hell? But and how do you get into that field? You just hang out with these guys or show up at the Skinwalker and go, I want to help.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, let's. That's about Bigfoot. I want to talk about that. We've had alien technology since the 40s, right? We've got a craft from the Roswell accident, and then the Radisson Forest in England evidence. Now, if that's true, and we did reverse engineer, which technology that we have would you think was alien through that process? fiber optics or solid state to microchip, or where did we cheat? You know,
I'm using alien technology to talk to you right now. How's that?
Okay. I would consider the cameras they have now that can from outer space dial in on a damn rock. I mean, man, and how clear it is, which brings me to Hubble telescope. Some say that is the technology, one of the technologies we got from the alien craft. When we first launched Hubble aircraft, it didn't work. Remember, we had to send up some astronauts to fix it.
Yeah.
What they put in was the precursor to the latest deep space telescope, which was just launched. But pictures that we got, the images we got back from deep space from Hubble, some of the people, scientists, are going, that's just freaking unbelievable. That we can do that. And so clearly, I mean, we're actually looking back in time, millions of years in time. That one I would consider we got from some alien craft, maybe. But it's a Velcro. Where'd Velcro come from? Jesus.
It'd be, you know, something as simple as that could be, too. It's just, you just never know.
Yeah. Well, if you remember the episode of Enterprise, T'Pol is stuck on the time of Earth back in the 40s or 50s, and she needs money to buy some equipment to get back where they were to notify where they're at, to send up a signal. So they need money. So T'Pol shows up at this guy's house and freaking rips the Velcro apart, puts it back together. Two or three times, and the guy's just looking at it, going, "What? He hands him the money." And it's an invent. Oh yeah, it was an invention guy. Yeah, give me your invention. So she sold Velcro to somebody in the 50s. That was a great angle.
I'm dropping a picture on the Team of Voices board right now of some leaked photographs taken by the Hubble telescope that the government never wanted us to see. So there's one right there on the board.
Okay. We get there. Oh, I used the browser. Bye-bye. I keep saying that. All right. Here we go. And we're right up top. I think I'm going to be laughing here. Right? Oh, yeah. Okay. Now that one would be after Bigfoot. That Bigfoot, well, that's the one in Willow Creek.
Uh-huh.
The next one, there's a bone deformity that country it is in. I think it's India. They film a guy that has a skeletal deformity. That's the way he walks. Looks just like that. But this guy is freaking spooky ass.
Yeah.
That's what showed up when I looked up. What was the movie, the sci-fi movie with Two and a Half Men? Charlie Sheen. There was a sci-fi movie with Charlie Sheen, and the alien that he talked to had his knees go the wrong way when he runs. Really weird looking. At the end of the movie.
I'm not sure.
Okay. Anyway, the knees go the other way is a freaky thing when you see it. Fake. And then who's waving at us? That's the Grays.
Yeah.
The tall grays.
Those were the monsters from the Stephen King Dreamcatcher. The Grays.
Oh, okay. The Grays. All right. Let's see. all this weird happening, like the glitch in the Matrix and shit, okay? Birds frozen in midair. There are a couple of them just... The one where they have it's a big bird. I don't know what kind of bird it is, maybe a seagull. The chick is looking at it and goes, look at this bird. And she zooms in on it with her camera or something, and that bird is just sitting there doing nothing. And then you can see something in the background, like an airplane or something goes by. So it's a little hard to fake on a phone, but then all of a sudden the bird takes off. I mean, glitch of the Matrix. God, are we living in a hologram?
Who knows?
I don't know, man. I think when it all started, when they fired up the large particle accelerator in Geneva, and they created their own Big Bang, which are two particles at speed of light going opposite directions, and then they slam them into each other to create the Big Bang. They think they want to see what happens. If that could have been the beginning of our existence and our universe or whatever. Now, some people have said, don't do that. You could rip the fabric of time and space and create a million little black holes. So maybe we look at that time, the timeline, and think of all the crap that's now happening. We don't want a bunch of little black holes, because a black hole don't have to be this big-ass monstrous planet-eating thing. It could be a little... Size doesn't matter in the quantum physics. Size does not matter. It's a very arbitrary fact. We're down in size is everything. You can't move it because it's too big. In quantum physics, that doesn't matter. You're not talking. So I'm thinking. Because the last interview I heard about the Geneva Particle Accelerator was Brian Cox, who's an English theoretical physicist like Kaku and Tyson. He was asked, how come they're not using the accelerator? They fired it up once, and he goes, his answer was, it takes us that long to decipher the data. So it takes 25 years to build, millions and millions of dollars. They fire it up for a couple of days, and then shut it back down and study the data. That sounds too odd to me. Maybe they know they screwed up. We don't know what's out there other than our own atmospheric conditions on this rock. Space in a vacuum, other conditions causing what you would call an atmosphere, foreign atmosphere, could house anything. Anything could happen. What we would call magic. It's a possibility.
Yeah.
Everybody gets so tied down to what it looks like, what something should look like or something should act like in space. All we know is here in our atmosphere, because light does not do the same thing as it does refracting through the oxygen, gases and stuff, what we call our sight, what we can see. But, particle accelerator. Now, I want to talk about the total extinctions. They said there was five resets of life on this planet Earth. Would explain why they get gears and tools embedded in 200,000-year-old rocks.
Yeah.
And those kind of things. Things that they can't understand why. Something that did actually survive the extinction. The last one was 65 million years ago. That was an extinction, a reset. Everything, not all species died, but a great many of them did, and that's still a reset, I guess. There's supposedly four of them before that. It could either be from outer space, a comet, but it could also be what they would explain where we're at now. they're saying that it is the abuse. We didn't use the land and the water right, correctly. It's going to, we are overpopulated. We will not be able to sustain the billions of people. And that introduces a great, a grand extinction that can also be considered a reset. And five of them, we're at the sixth one, approaching the sixth one now, whether an asteroid hits us or some pandemic or something, as far as the humans, the human species, it is more common than you think a species to go extinct. And we are just a species.
Yeah.
Everything around a certain species that goes extinct is affected. Whether it's good or bad, it can create, they say that the insect population teeters on the existence of overrunning us at any time. If environmental things change, all of a sudden you can be spiders everywhere, and you know, we can't control them. They don't know how to kill us. The five extinctions, I've been trying to study more on how do they know there's five of them, and what evidence do they have of the pre?
On a total
extinction, what can survive? What animal, what insect, what has survived all five? And there's only one. It's a little dust mite. Looks like a dust mite, and it's a I'll look it up.
So we all come from dust mites.
Well, you know, if they magnify the dust mites, they look like little freaking monster dinosaurs, right? Rhinoceroses with extra horns and shit. The dust mites. That's what this thing looks like. It's like a germatoid or something. Reptoid. It's the one thing that lived in space and was able to come back. It can live in a vacuum, I guess.
Huh.
So we might be, actually, if you believe in evolution, we evolved more from a dust mite, dinosaur-looking thing. I don't know. Five extinctions, and we're approaching our sixth. And this one's going to be self. We do it to ourselves, they say, because we screwed up. We didn't. And it also explains that how we don't use our brains the way we could have. The movement of rocks, like the guy in Florida that built that Floral Gables or whatever, 20-ton rocks that he unloaded off the truck by himself. No machinery. The Egyptians built the Sphinx and the pyramids using those rocks. Are what, 10 tons?
Yeah.
There's no way an army of people drug those freaking boulders on top of each other. They'd still be doing it. They had some knowledge that we don't in order to do that. And I think maybe they knew about the extinction, that they built something that would last, to prove they were there.
That's an interesting theory.
And how far are we, in technology-wise, are we further than any other?
Who knows?
You know, generation. I know. Yeah.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, they were able to travel through space.
that's another show, the possibility of doing that. Some say that's, man, our technology better freaking get here faster and to be able to live in space. Space is a violent, dangerous motherfucking place, man. There's there's a zone around the Earth that is that's where you die. It's the place between the vacuum and space that we can't escape. It's the hardest thing for a rocket to go through to get out of the atmosphere, the pull of the atmosphere, or the atmosphere, the pull of the planet. They call it stuff. It's like the dead zone of going up the Himalayas, Mount Everest. There's a zone, kill zone or something. But there's also one around the Earth. They say it's the hardest for the equipment the capsule and the rocket and the astronauts to go through this zone. We don't know nothing about it, do we? It's like the Kuiper belt. Like the Kuiper belt. How you get a mad? How you gonna get to see that? Well, I know. Have Paris fly us through. He's the best pilot.
Sully.
You know Paris from Voyager.
Yeah, Tom Paris.
All right. Okay. Well, that's okay. Enough of that. Let's see. Okay. 50 Forest. Channel 5 resets. We did that one. Oh, okay. A little more before we go. The sixth extinction will be that the unsustainable use of land and water. It says 40% of all land has now been corrugated or changed for food and agriculture. 40% of the land mass of the earth. Agriculture is responsible for 90% of global deforestation and uses 70% of all fresh water. Those numbers are scary. Process food. Yeah, the extinction, the way we process our food is the biggest contributor to global warming. Manufactured plants and such throughout the world. I didn't know that. And pretty soon it will be an unsustainable food production and consumption. They contribute to the greenhouse effect. It's to try to feed our faces. It's contributed more to the greenhouse effect than any other reason. See, they're going about it wrong. They're lying to us. Now, the reason I can see why, it's a good way to scare people and make millions of dollars. Example of how Al Gore did. We were supposed to be underwater by now, but no. We shouldn't do that. Global warming, poor polar bears, right? There's more polar bears now than there was in the 50s. So it's all a game. It's all a game, you know? I don't know. Maybe I should run for emperor of the world if you vote for me. And I have your vote.
I've been looking for that area that you were talking about for the rockets to get through. Would it be the mesosphere?
Say that again.
The mesosphere. That's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, that sounds right. It's like it's also known as a belt, I think, or it's above some belt. It's the most dangerous zone. You can't hang out in it. It's very hard to go through it.
Yeah.
I don't know how high it is. And I don't know the properties of the gases at that altitude elevations to know would it flames ignite it? Would want to ignite the thing around the Earth? That's a possibility. You're talking helium, hydrogen, oxygen.
Yeah. This is saying it's like at about 30 miles up to 50 miles. It's a 20-mile band.
Okay, that's probably it. It's really tough to go through, right? Also to come back through and to leave.
It says it's meteors actually get eaten up in it. They can't get through usually, and because there's a lot of electrical discharges, almost like lightning. They call sprites. Constantly going.
Yeah,
it is. I'll tell you what it is. It's alien technology, and it's a shield around the Earth. Like a shield, ray shield.
Are they protecting us? They're saving us for food. It's a cookbook. It's a cookbook.
To serve man.
Yeah, I mean, there are so many things that why we have existed, that, like, there's no reason. You ask anybody but Stephen Hawking, God rest his soul, rest in peace, they all believe in a higher power. Sagan did. Frickin' Einstein did. Tyson won't go either way. He won't say yes or no because he's a wishy-washy freaking guy. Brian Cox says, he says, when asked the question, do you believe in God? His answer was, call it God, call it your Uncle Bill. But there is something. There is a grand design because the odds of us being here, they say if you have a 12-word statement, sentence, and a dice for every letter, how many times would you have to roll the dice for it to line up again and spell those words and say that phrase? It's incredible, right?
Yeah.
So that's what they said, the odds are of us being here. We are a freak of no, I can't remember the song. We are a freak of the universe. You're not supposed to be here. That's an old song.
Yeah. Bumblebees aren't supposed to fly.
I don't believe. I find it hard to believe that we crawled out of a primal ooze that was hit by lightning and then survived 5 mass extinctions through the millions and millions of years. I don't know. And then you call the others humanoids. How would you say they were humanoids if you're talking 5 million years ago?
Right. Well,
what's the oldest rock on Earth? What's the oldest rock on Earth? I can't remember the number.
That'd be the sharks. Sharks have been around for millions and millions of years.
Yeah. There you go. Some of the crocodilian are basically the same from the fossils, right? They can tell by the fossils and what the carbon date the rock. That pretty much tell you how old that fossil is. Yeah, millions of years. It's hard to grasp, and then to know that the HMS Beagle evolution was Darwin. God, brain fart. Darwin went to the Galapagos, did his papers and studies, and wrote his book on evolution. Everybody cheered. Yeah. But his opponent, his nemesis, checked all the numbers and he fudged the numbers. Darwin lied. And it's a proven fact. And even Darwin, later in life, he admitted that he did, but he wanted to, he said it didn't matter that it's still evolution. So that makes evolution an unproved faith, which makes it a religion. So it's no better or worse than any religion. Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't have the answer to that as far as teaching kids. I mean, I'm glad I don't make those decisions. But they ought to be a little more open-minded on the evolution and creation. So that's a tough one, too. You don't have to make the decisions. I don't know. I think the glitches of the Matrix, these people aren't messing with their Photoshop in their phones. I think there's a way of proving that they didn't, if they just save it and share it. I'm assuming the glitches in the Matrix, some of those things are really weird, like the athlete that's frozen for 30 seconds and doesn't move, doesn't blink, doesn't... Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Time is a factor that we don't understand, like gravity. We know it's there, but we don't understand it. It just rushes by.
Yeah,
and
I have proof. I have proof that there's a higher power that's been messing with the Earth since the beginning of time. And you know what that proof is?
Let me guess.
As our technology seems to get better, things get smaller. Well, that's the same thing that happened with the Earth. I mean, remember Megalodon? Now it's down to a great white. Or they used to have those huge dragonflies. Now they're only a couple inches. So they're figuring it out. They're learning better technology, and they're making everything smaller.
I think they have an answer to that, but yeah, no, that's a good parallel to that. I mean, the miniaturization from solid state, you know, stereos, TVs, whatever, fuse to the microprocessor is a giant leap. It's out of our hands. We don't question it too much. But you should get if you do question it, and that is a phenomenal jump in technology overnight. The miniaturization, you can put in the tip of your finger a microchip that can store volumes of information, and who knows?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the fact is, the first computer I had compared to my telephone, it was a piece of crap.
Yeah. I actually got one of those floppy disk computer things just to have it sort of a throwback to see how it worked. Got the best way to, oh, my God, how does people talk about patience? Download something for 2 days.
Yeah, I remember. You watch that movie War Games, the disks that he was putting in the computer, they were bigger than LPs.
Yeah. Well, they said the first computer was about a block, city block long.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. So it's tough to be a, how would you rule your country and be a politician and stay up on all that and be right on every decision that's made going your way? Because unless you are studying these things deeply and understanding them, could you make an honest appraisal or a decision?
True.
So it's a lot of guesswork our history has been at, you know? How about the naval footage of the Tic Tacs?
Yes. Yeah. I've watched that countless times. Yeah.
And it's deceiving because if you listen to the pilots, you got to have the pilots talking and listen to them because they're the ones saying that this thing shot up from 80,000 feet to nothing in a blink of an eye, you know, or a second. That's scary. If you were to go look for life somewhere else, you'd send robots, right? You'd send little Tic Tac things to photograph and report back. That seems to me to be the only explanation of what they are. They blink in and out of existence, which we can only do with one electron.
Yeah,
electrons from matter to antimatter or something. They can transport an electron, something like that. To be able to beam me down is a solid theory. I don't know, all your cells in your body. I don't know. A little out there, but this is where we're stuck in our own world, our own thought, because we can't. It's hard to take your mind and expand it to accept some theory, you know, some theory that most people don't understand, and you don't understand, but it does have validity. You know, Einstein proved that. People 100 years ago, 200 years ago, think of what we're doing now.
Yeah.
Too much for them.
Just got to make sure no flies get in the transporter with you.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't know. All the answers. Now, I'm assuming that when we're done at this plane of existence, this human experience we call life, that we could get the answers to those questions. What is it all? Why are we here? And how did we get here? I like the story of what you said about the protective ring around the earth. Somebody's protecting us. A couple close calls.
Yeah, I mean, what I was reading about it, it sure sounds like it would be like a protective shield.
It they say it acts like one. In every aspect of it, yeah. But a lot of things to give thought to, like the HARP, HAARP. the weather machine we have is either in Canada or it's in the Alaska. They fly over it. They go, what the hell is it? Just a bunch of antenna-looking things in this acreage. And it can change the weather. It's an ionization machine, ionosphere or whatever. They change the weather machine. It does exist. Whether it works or not, I don't know. But it's still there. It's still being manned. And they know when it goes on, when it is fired up. So I mean, I'm assuming it glows in the dark. But, I don't know. A lot of things to think about. I like the cryptoid thing. Scares me. I've been a mountain guy. I love the mountains. Next time I go to the mountains, I'm going to have that in my head. All those flipping animals, all those cryptoids. Don't want to meet them. Don't want to see them.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you put yourself out there. Yeah, I was up living with the rich and famous, right? I was taking care of this $2 million cabin. It was water ski. This is a couple's water ski house. Best looking, most expensive looking thing on the lake. And they were only there like, you know, 6 months out of the year. So I was there the rest of the year. I forgot to tell you I spaced out. I don't know why I brought that up. I think it was the Tic Tac that did it.
Yeah.
Hi, Joy.
Hi.
We're on the air. Man Cave.
Oh, hi.
You could only pass through.
Hello.
Okay. She's quiet because usually she's walking in and we're doing the poetry. You don't have to here. The alien technology, the reverse engineering is pretty fascinating. I got, what was his name, Gerald, he's a scientist. He's got glasses, sort of bald, heavy, he's a beard. Oh, God, Freeman, Gerald Freeman, I think his name is. He was on Coast to Coast, which is a late night radio show down in Las Vegas, and they started about the Area 51, and he takes calls on certain subjects. Well, this Freeman guy was on, and I called in, and my question was, what he thought about Bob Lazar? I said, what about Bob Lazar's report? He goes, he's nuts, he's crazy, he does all these things. He totally tried to make it look like he was a fool. That's basically what he said. And now Bob Lazar's story is coming true. Everything he has said for the last 30, 40 years is actually coming true. The certain things that he told that other people didn't know about Area 51, where were they shipped, the bunkers, what they were like, and the crafts that he saw. His job was to reverse engineer. You know, I think that needs to be looked at. But that every time I see that Friedman guy, it just pisses me off. I was thinking, you told me Bob Lazar was a fool. All right, well, we're approaching the first hour. I think Deb watches us through. Basically, she thinks that's enough talk for us.
I got to get to bed, so it has to be, unfortunately.
All right, well, I'll think of one of these. We'll go deeper on one of these subjects or something next Friday. The last Friday of every month, if you're listening, Steven, 76 and myself get together. We talk about anything we want. The number here, if you want to call in and suggest something, we could probably handle that, is 646-668-2837. That's 646-668-2837. Team of Voices Radio on Blog Talk. Well, it's been an informative hour. I like talking to somebody about the stuff that goes through my mind. You can't surf the internet. You can't surf YouTube and the internet without running across this shit. Oh, excuse me, this stuff. But,
that word's still PG-13. You hear it in the news now.
Yeah, that's a big deal. Yeah, that's another thing. You know, pilots that are reporting UFOs, first thing they did was take your license. Pilots,
yeah.
They never said anything. Now they can. And these guys on the deathbed swear that's true what they did. So, you know, you can put somebody away for that.
Yeah, you made me think of Close Encounters of the Third Kind when they first see him in the plane and they ask him, do you want to report a UFO? And he's like, no, I don't want to do that.
I don't want to do that. Yeah. Yeah, we have to open our eyes as a civilization a little more. We are stuck in the past as far as acceptance of things we don't understand. And hopefully we can get by that sometime before the sixth extinction happens.
Yeah.
We grew up at the right time in time in history of in the universe. We knew before technology, we know what it is after, and we'll just leave the rest of the history to the world to somebody else. Because I don't want to be there when it ends.
Yeah.
So, all right, Stephen, well, thanks for hanging out with me. We'll be here in a month, and we'll do it again. Kiss the wind for me. All
righty. Will do.
Okay, Dad. All right. Well, you've been listening to Attentive Voices Radio. This is the Man Cave. Last Friday of every month, Stephen 76 and myself get together and talk about anything we want. Totally enjoyable getting a break on the radio for the writing. So, you got anything to say? What's coming up? What do you have coming up next week?
Actually, we don't have any shows in our room next week except for Skies. And Skies is, let me get over there real quick.
That's
on the last of the month. It's Storyboards with Sky Darkholm, and it's Dungeons & Dragons, the next edition of Dungeons & Dragons, and she's featuring the class The Ranger, not the Airborne Ranger, just The Ranger.
Yeah.
Anybody who doesn't know what a Ranger was, that's what Strider was in The Lord of the Rings. He was a Ranger.
Oh, okay. You know, Sky, one of my favorite people on the radio. I would love to sit and create with her, see how she does it. She's very intense, very thorough, everything she does, which I envious about. But, maybe we'll have a guest host one Friday. Invite Sky. Let her loose. All right, Stephen. Let me get back to the studio here. Maybe I'll play something. Oh, I wanted to go one other thing. I shared with Deborah, and I better get there real quick. Let's see. There it is. Okay. Stop. I think she put it before or after that. Okay. Well, I don't have time to go into the whole story, but I'll tell you the Reader's Digest version. There was a gentleman named Nicholas, and his last name it escapes me. He was invited to this theater, this amphitheater type thing. And he's there at some point. The lady sitting next to him says that she wanted to thank him because she was one of the children that he helped save from the Nazis in the 30s and 40s, or the 40s.
Oh.
From Nazis that helped smuggle 663 children out of Nazi Germany by falsifying documents at the threat of him being executed if he was found. At this amphitheater later in life, this was like 2004, I want to say.
Yeah.
In this theater, the lady next to him, all of a sudden, the attention is brought to him, and she says, I'm one of the children that you saved. I want to thank you. Then the lady on the other side says, I'm also one of the children that you saved, and I want to thank you so much for my life. And then the person on stage says, well, this is interesting. Does anybody else in this theater or anybody else here contribute Nicholas with saving their lives? The whole place, everybody in the place stood up. It was 663 or 64 of them, whatever it was. They all stood up. As many as that were still alive and they could get a hold of all showed up to tribute the guy that saved their lives when they were kids. Very moving.
Wow.
You can look, look that up just by a Google search, Man Who Saved Kids Honored in England. I guess it was. But fascinating story. Made Deborah cry. But, all right, Sue. I'll let you go to bed now instead of keeping you any longer. We're at what hour? So we're good.
Yeah.
And tomorrow night, Deborah Lee and AP Taylor, we are here for the Saturday. 100 times 1,000 different ways is the prompt. 100 times 1,000 different ways. Whatever that means to you. It's not an easy one, I guess. So, all right. Well, we could sign off now, I think. We get to the studio. I want to play a song is what I'm saying. You don't have to hang too much, but I'm going to play a song. So let me ask you, how do you like this radio gig that we have?
Yeah, it's fun. It's definitely fun.
It surely enhances the writing when we're able to share our work at the same time and read it along and hear the voices. Before,
yeah.
We didn't know what each other, it tightened the bond among us and between us, friendships and such. So I think it's a good thing all around. And the amount of years that we've been writing together, I'm going on 9. I think I'm going on 10, actually. These people that I've been hanging around with, I've become great writers. Can't say enough about them. And you're one of them, Stephen 76. My God. And your wife?
Yeah, my wife blows me away when she writes.
She gets it. She gets it, how to write poetry. And she just gets it. So.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah, kiss the wind for me. I'm going to find me a song. Our file is absolutely huge. I'm still the A's. I'm going to throw a dart. First one. Paperback Writer, Strawberry Fields, Oh Darling. Oh, let's see. We'll get a Beatles song. Ticket to Ride. She says that living with me is bringing her down. Yeah, wait till I think I'm gonna be sad. I think it's today. Living with me is bringing her down. Alice.
If I had a world of my own, everything would be nonsense. Nothing would be what it is, because everything would be what it isn't.
I invite you to a world where there is no such thing as time, and every creature lends themselves to change your state of mind. And the girl that chased the rabbit drank the wine and took the pill, has locked herself in limbo to see how it truly feels to stand outside your virtue. No one can
Shine Down with Alice theme song here. Well, thank everybody for listening. Always welcome to Pure Voices Radio here on Blog Talk to look around and enjoy the miracles around you, because they are there. Don't live your life without seeing them. Enjoy your friendships, everybody. Jay Hatter, signing off. Thank you all.